is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Video Game Bang, Sacramento's number one geek and gaming podcast. I'm your host tonight, the real David Webb. Corey is out on some diplomatic mission in Washington. He's talking to the White House about diversity. So
I think that's not a great... You know what? Just let him do it.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's fine.
Godspeed, my friend. Tonight, we have a very special show planned out for you. But first, gotta give a shout-out to our sponsors. We are powered by NRG Esports, Vast GG Marketing. Go check them out. If you have a giveaway to do or anything like that, go check them out. They are awesome. Oblivion Comics and Coffee, the best place in Sacramento to get your comics and your coffee and toast. And...
Gamersubs! Why are you looking at me? I was gonna say, why are you looking at me like I know what to do?
Gamersubs!
You're
Go get
host,
them
man.
For your healthy energy drink.
We're throwing you in the deep
Good
end. No
stuff,
help,
man.
In the deep end. Tonight, she is back. She's been gone for 6 years, give or take. Traveling the world. She learned how to fight ninjas.
And made a friend, and his name is Wilson.
She made a friend. Wilson, Ivy Doom Kitty, welcome back.
Hey, I am back, fam. I know you guys miss me.
We did. It was really quiet without you.
I know. It's not the same without me. It's okay.
Behind the ones and twos tonight, Curtis. How's it going, Curtis?
Hey, man. I'm just trying to stay alive throughout this cast. I'm manning the ship, so everybody batten down the hatches and hold on tight.
Yeah, it's going to be a good show. And, of course, we have here with her soapbox ready to go, Emma Skies.
Why well, always gotta assume there's a soapbox? Maybe I'll surprise you sometimes. I can be reasonable.
You know, I saw some very interesting tweets today from one Aaron Carter about all of
I'm
the
a very reasonable person.
Dastardly things that you've done in Minecraft.
I have done no
I saw
such
you
thing.
Murder somebody. For some reason, okay, here's the weird thing. I don't know what's weirder, the fact that you murdered a villager or he was on the roof watching you through the skylight.
That's the real story here. Why is he spying on me constantly?
It is.
Asking
it is,
the real questions.
Yeah. Dateline. And of course, we cannot forget our guest. He is a awesome photographer. He's definitely one of my inspirations. Cosplay photographer extraordinaire, Martin Wong. How's it going, Martin?
Hello. Thanks for having me tonight.
Oh, thanks for hanging out with us. I'm super excited to have you on. We kind of crossed paths once last E3. I think you were not this past E3, but the one before. You were there with Logitech. So we saw you and Abby. And yeah, so ever since then I've been following you and it's awesome to have you on.
Like in person he's been stalking you.
Yeah, I have.
It's kind
like,
of a problem.
Just like Aaron in Minecraft. If you're on any skylights or buy skylights, I'm up there. This got really weird.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, Martin.
All right.
It's like a weird turn, and I blame you, Emma.
Oh, man.
I've done nothing wrong in my life, ever.
So, Martin, for those who don't haven't heard from you, living under a rock, or aren't really cosplay initiated, can you tell us a little bit about you? Like, what do you do? How'd you get involved in cosplay photography and all that?
Yeah, of course. So, again, my name is Martin. So, I've been doing cosplay photography for more or less like over 10 years for now. But, you know, I got started randomly, very surprisingly. So, it's a friend, a really old friend who, you know, came up to me and say, hey, Martin, you shoot photography, right? And I, yes. And that was before I know, you know, this whole world. And then she was like, hey, you should come to this event called Fanime. And, you know, it'll be great. People will take pictures. You can take pictures. And I'll be in costume. And then, you know, you can take picture of cosplay. And I'm like, cos what? Then she explained to me what cosplay is. And then I've went to my first, you know, cosplay event. At Fanime, which is in San Jose, California. I know where my hometown is. And I was surprised. You know, I see lots of people being very creative, create their own costume. Especially back then, 10 years ago, it's really hard to buy costume. That was even before people can easily get tutorials on the internet, you know. So it's very interesting to see lots of people become very, very creative and create a costume that's based on characters that they love. And after the first time I went to events, and it's like a drug, you know, you get hooked into it, and then I keep coming back, and next thing you know, I am still shooting cosplay for the last 10 years, even though my friends who first introduced me to cosplay, I think they left already. They keep saying they're still there, but I never see them anymore. So that has become my reality, and now I am stuck in this, and that's how I made all my friends, and that's how I met actually a lot of you.
That's awesome. So before, so how long were you doing, so you've done cosplay photography for 10 years, how long were you doing just regular photography before that?
So I have been doing photography regular for over 15 years, but I've actually been doing Photoshop or editing, retouching even longer than that, so about like 20 years.
So what made you like get into photography in the first place?
It's actually photo editing, because I get to play with photo editing at a very young age. I get to learn about it. So that actually allows me to play photos a lot. But after a while, I was like, what's great other than just, you know, playing with editing photos, learning how to put layers together, composite photos, is that why not get my own image and take my own pictures so I can play with them myself instead of relying, you know, getting photos from the internet or buying them. Back when I first started photo editing, there was like no internet. So I actually have to go and buy stock photo in like a CD ROM, kind of like you buy a CD. It has like, you know, you can buy different stuff. It's like buying Steam, you know, like those DLC package from Sims.
Oh, yeah.
You buy different like stuff. That's exactly like that, except for photos editing, where they have like, oh, you want to buy furniture sets? Yeah, you can buy this for $50. And you want to buy a bunch of different background actor looking people, just like, you know, model people, another $50. But that's how I used to do it. But later I was like, all right, you know what? This is enough. It's enough. I'm going to use my own photos instead. So that's how I got involved into photography.
So when you wanted to jump into photography, did you just jump in and buy like a high-end camera, or did you start with like, you know, your phone or something that you just had around?
So good thing is that, you know, my dad is a designer, he's an artist, so he already has, you know, give me some teaching moments with photography at a young age as well, which is, you know, using old camera, which is not the digital kind. It's still an SLR, but it's not a DSLR. So I get to play with that a little bit. And then later in life, I, you know, got a summer job, made some money. So I decided to, you know, spend all my summer job money into, you know, getting a DSLR. Oh, but before that, I actually was also a photographer for my high school, for the newspaper. So, you know, just gradually, you know, getting equipment that I know that I need until to the point where what I have right now.
Oh, wow. So do you feel like by starting out with film, do you feel like you have a better grasp on the photography settings, like the nitty and gritty of it, rather than like with digital, like, because now with digital photography you could take a picture, you see, oh, that's not gonna turn out, let me adjust some things and shoot again. But with film you can't do that. So
I feel like with film it's a very good teaching moment. It really helps you understand what is involved and how did it get there. It's not necessary, I would say, to say for someone that they have to learn film. I mean, it is an appreciation that you can get. It's the same thing as, you know, going to camping or learning how to start your own campfire rather than, you know, using a stove or using, you know, matches and stuff like that. It's like, it's not necessary in today's world, but you do get appreciation for it, and then you learn something. It's very rewarding by itself.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I took a film photography class in college. And I liked it. But it definitely, like, I 100% see where you're coming from with it really kind of teaching you all the details and being able to figure everything out, because like, yeah, you, once you shoot, that's it. Like, you can't go back and just delete it and redo it.
And the thing is, like, it's a patient test, because like, after you take the photo, you're like, this is great. I don't know. I won't know until I develop this photo.
And then like, especially now with like, you know, going to conventions and stuff like that, it's not like if you shoot with film, it's not like you can always go, oh, well, I'm gonna go back and reshoot because this didn't work right. It's like that moment's gone. So
this is interesting. This is actually a little bit before my time getting involved in cosplay, is that I've been talking to other photographers that are in the community, in the scenes for a while. And they were saying, you know, I talked to Yaya Han about this too. And we were saying that back then, you know, before digital camera, people actually, of course, have to picture with, you know, point and shoot, but they're still not digital. So most people cannot see the photo instantly. So how they have to do is that they will take the photo, and then they have to write down everyone's information, like their actual address and stuff like that, on a piece of paper, and then go home and develop the film. and then make how many copies. For example, they do group photos, just 5 cosplayers. Then they will actually find each person's name and address, develop the photos, and then mail it to them. That was like before the internet exists too.
Oh man, that
that's sounds... a level of trust right there. I'm not giving nobody my address.
Way back.
Yeah, I mean, Emma, you guys cosplay. If you guys go to a convention and somebody says, hey, let me get your phone number, your address, I'm going to mail this picture to you.
No,
I don't fucking think so.
Not going to happen. Not at all. Sorry.
That's
but
funny.
No.
Nope, nope, nope.
So, okay, so cosplay photography for the past 10 years. What's been your all-time favorite con to go to do photography?
Ooh, that's a tough one because I feel like every convention has their own little specialty. But if I have to pick one that I like the most for cosplay photography, I do enjoy, I would say CosUCon in the East Coast in America.
Okay.
That's the one. I mean, those are the ones I've been to. There are some I haven't been to yet, so I can't compare with those. But CosUCon is one of the conventions that I have been to. It's in Maryland, in DC area. I mean, the reason why it's a great place is that because the location they have, which is a hotel, but it is a sunroof hotel that has a whole glass side on one of the hotel side, so then lights can come in as a giant softbox, and most of the floor or walls are white or marble, so they also create really good reflecting lights for the models, and the photos usually turn out pretty well, even just straight off the camera.
That's like a dream. That's like perfect, like perfect climate, like perfect everything that you would want as a photographer.
Oh yeah, it's great. Like it's you should also indoors. So like you having all these nice giant soft lights while still staying warm in the indoor temperature. At the same time, you know, you also have different location too. They have like little, because the hotel itself is also, they make it very pretty. So they have like a little brick wall kind of situation, but they also have some really nice water fountain. I think Emma has been to that before too, so maybe she can comment on that as well.
Yeah, it's the only one that I went to, but didn't they just do a bunch of renovations and like a bunch of the stuff that we used to use is gone, I think? Like there's a lot of foliage in the lower levels that I heard was gone this year.
Yeah, I think they're making changes as they go along, but it's not that bad yet.
The gazebo is the one that everybody recognizes. Like if you see a cosplay picture with like a white gazebo in a very well-lit area, it's from CatsuCon.
Yep, that's their symbol.
But apparently it's getting like massively overcrowded because everybody knows that it's such a great place to go for cosplay shoots. And they have the problem of like, you don't have to have a badge to stay at the hotel. So everybody, like nobody gets a badge to CatsuCon, and it's just flooded with like thousands and thousands of people. And it's apparently gotten to be a bit too much. This year was apparently really, really crazy.
It was extremely crowded this year, but I don't see that as an extremely bad thing. It is a progression of part of the community, part of the industry. Every time you have a convention at a hotel, that kind of happens. But usually, convention that's also at a hotel is the one that you easily make more friends and actually a lot more fun. But it's just, you know, I mean, it's a good thing, a bad thing, you know, like it's a good thing that the whole community, there's more people involved. Everyone's getting into cosplay and photography, which is great. But at the same time, so of course, we get, you know, a negative effect, which is like overcrowded at conventions.
Are there any difficulties that you faced when trying to do a location shoot?
Yeah. So especially now is that every convention, that's especially the great ones, is getting more and more crowded. So not only that, I have to, you know, work with other photographer to, you know, try to use limited space. At the same time, I would have other photographer try to get into my photo shoots while I'm taking the photo shoots. A lot of them might be new, so they do not know, you know, what is the right etiquette for cosplayer and for photographers. And sometimes we'll get into some, you know, discussions. It's like, hey, you know, I'm just trying to do photo shoots here. Please let me finish my photo shoots before you can, you know, come in to do whatever you need.
That's crazy. I feel like, I don't know. To me, it just kind of feels like common sense. Like if I see, especially if you have a setup, do you have like a whole like setup with lights and everything at conventions, or do you just roam around with your camera?
Sometimes it depends on, you know, what kind of photo shoot I'm doing. Sometimes I'll just do it just with bare camera and lens, but sometimes I will have light stand or even have people to help me hold lights to do more dramatic and creative lighting.
So for me, when I'm at a convention, like even if I have my camera and I'm just walking around, just kind of, you know, goofing off and making an attempt to take pictures, if I see another photographer with a setup, to me it's just common sense. You don't just go up and start trying to snipe their shoot. I mean, Curtis, what do you go to conventions, what do you think? Like,
I mean, yeah, kind of similar thing. That's just kind of part of the etiquette. You know, like I would be roaming around and trying to grab media too, video clips and stuff. And, you know, if I see someone that I'm interested in, asking if I could shoot or get some video or some pics, I'm always, you know, being respectful and waiting until the other, you know, photographer or videographer is done. Never ever open stepping those bounds.
I feel like that's crazy that happens.
Oh yeah, sniping happens constantly. And I feel like on the cosplayer side of it,
constantly.
Like you'll be in the middle of like shooting with somebody and then somebody walks up behind them and starts taking pictures, and I'm like, personally, I'll just like, all right, I'm shooting, like if I'm shooting with you, Martin, like I'm just gonna look at you, I'm looking at your camera, I'm posing for your photo, and then like I can see the person behind them is like, look over here. I'm like, fuck off, no. Like if you wanna wait and ask me. But then on the other side of that, there's also, like, I think we talked about this before, like, Sac Anime, where, like, I was shooting with a friend of mine, and then a guy came up and was, like, very polite, was like, oh, hey, like, I shouldn't step into this, I shouldn't snipe this shot, I should ask first. But he asked the photographer if he could shoot me and didn't ask me. Like, he stepped up to John and was like, can I take a picture of her? And I was like, she is right here. What the fuck?
Yeah, or they'll step right into the shot, they'll walk into the shot. Oh, yeah. I myself am guilty of, like, when I'm in a rush to get to a place, I'm not paying attention, and I walk right in between the photographer and the person that's getting shot, and it's like a walk of shame. You're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, because I absolutely understand the frustration and anger you get when someone does that to you.
In those situations, I would say the best way is that, just keep on moving, and I'll say you're sorry, but you don't have to stay, especially in front of the camera.
Yeah. Like, I'm just going to stand here and apologize.
I have seen people try to like duck under the camera, but they're way too tall.
Oh, no.
So this is a picture of a crouching person.
So this is this really awkward like duck down movement, but they don't have any ducking. They're just like putting their head a little bit lower.
It's the
I've done that
it's
before.
Like that, like, it's like that jog when you're going across the street and you can see a car there.
Oh yeah, you're not really so moving quicker. It's slightly.
You just want them to know that you're aware and you're.
I'm aware that you're there.
You give an effort.
I'm putting an effort. Yeah.
But on that, and I'm sure Ivy and I have our own side of this. But as a cosplay photographer, what are like your biggest, like if you could give advice to somebody at a con, whether it's another photographer or an attendee or a cosplayer, like what's your biggest like things to do and things not to do?
Ooh, like your do's and don'ts.
Yeah.
Pet peeves.
Ooh, so I mean, I can speak more for maybe cosplay photographer on that side. Here's the thing, you know, convention is such an interesting space. I was actually doing some non-cosplay portrait shoots with a friend the other day, and I was thinking, there's not a lot of situation where you can just normally go up to someone and say, hey, can I get a photo? And they'll be more than happy to let you take a photo. Like, if you do that randomly on the street, they're like, what the heck, like, what do you want, you know? Like, is it, I mean, California is already better, and if you do that in New York, it's even weirder, you know? So it is in a very interesting space, and that's why we have the situation where people just like being very rude and trying to take photos, you know, without permission, that kind of stuff. But I would say, you know, the best way to do so is to find other people and maybe practice what they're doing. You know, I see that is most people are open to question. You know, if you have something that you don't understand, both for cosplayer, as an attendee, or as a photographer, or anybody, if you ask someone nicely, they will more than happy to explain to you how things usually operate or run around there. I'm usually really open too. Like when people ask any question, they ask me, I'll say, yeah, this is what I do. You know, this is what I suggest. When you go to a convention for the first time, it's so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. I have cosplayer friends who never been to a convention before, and then they say, yeah, I'm going to my first convention, I'm going to Anime Expo, or like, I'm going to Dragon Con. Like, ooh.
That's a bad choice.
That is not your starter.
That's,
you know,
your like, first convention.
Yeah. My like, first one was New York Comic Con.
You should know that like your first starter Pokemon is not a Charizard. Like you're not able to control that. It's just all over the place, and you'll be a mess, man. You'll get burned. Easy.
That's just asking for trouble.
Yep, pretty much. You know, you don't have enough badge to tame me, you know, especially that's your first badge, your AX badge. Uh-huh. But yeah, so I would say, you know, the best advice is, you know, work with other people, learn how it is that, you know, people have those kind of etiquettes, you know. Again, I know it's new, but don't be shy, you know. Lots of people are like you too. They're new, they're trying to get involved and trying to, you know, become better at what they're doing. But yeah, just be nice to others and they'll be able to help you.
Ooh, I'm actually really curious though, because that kind of leads into you know, like the cosplay is not consent movement, and you know, with photographers asking for permission to take a photo and things and that. What are your thoughts on that?
So I didn't know that we need to make a giant poster for common sense, but apparently we do.
Yeah, like common sense isn't common anymore.
So, you know, like, it's just like, well, apparently now we make 10 commandments to say, like, you know, do not kill people, and now do not touch people with their consent. Apparently that was not well-known knowledge. It's good. I mean, it's great that it's being spread of the awareness, because apparently there are people who actually do not understand boundaries and do not know what is the right. It's not even etiquette. This is like, you know, it's personal space. You know, you can't touch and move people, or, you know, just be rude to someone and invade their space without their consent. So I'm glad that this is getting more attention, and even it might have started as a joke for some people, but later it become a, you know, more common standard, and now everybody understands and even will say that, like, hey, cosplay is not consent, and that would create a better standard for both cosplayer and easier work with photographer. I mean, even the big, you know, when this was become a thing, before it became a big thing, I always work with cosplayer and say, hey, can I have you move certain way? And if I do actually touch you, I'm saying, hey, I'm going to move your arm. Is that okay? If they say yes, then I'll do so. But if they say no, or they even say they didn't say no, I would still wouldn't do it unless I get a, you know, verbal confirmation saying yes. So actually, back to the other question that you asked before, maybe, you know, best practice. One thing as a photographer that I like to teach my other photographers, that one of the tricks that I love to use is posing. You know, there's two ways you can help the model, the cosplayer, to pose. One is mirror image. So you stand in front of them like a mirror. So if you move your left hand, they will move their right hand. If you move your right leg, they'll move their left leg. So therefore, they can just pose like as if they're in front of a camera, in front of a mirror. The other way is, of course, it's just copy posing, meaning you stand next to them or behind them or some way that they can see you, but then you pose exactly how they would pose. So in that way, you're not touching them, you're not having any physical contact. At the same time, they can see what you're doing, and it's easy for them to mimic you. So those are some great tricks for you to get some better posing as well.
Actually, with that, I appreciate that you say that, because I've seen so many times when a photographer tells a cosplayer, hey, pose this way or pose that way, and the cosplayer's like, no, you know, I want to do it this way or I want to do it that way. But at the end of the day, you as a photographer see what that final image is going to look like, because you're seeing that angle from the lens of your camera. So you know if it's going to look great or if it's an unflattering angle. Whereas we, on the other end, we might think that we're posing right. We might think that that angle looks great, and we might feel like we look badass in that shot. But when we get that image, we're going to be very unhappy with it, because we didn't listen to the direction of the pro on the other end that can see the full picture.
So thank you for that. Looking badass, this is one common practice. I want to say mistake. To me, it's not something that
I know exactly
my
what you're
personal
gonna say.
Preference. But a lot of cosplayers that I have experienced working with is that they always tilt their head higher, like in like an almighty pose. See, to their head higher.
I was going to say that one.
But then it doesn't look good, because then I'm just taking a picture up their nose. and you lose the jawline completely. And it's not, usually it's not that flattering, but a lot of them always do that. So I always have to tell them, hey, you know, tilt your chin lower and let's move your head a little bit, face a little bit lower. That
you gotta
will
turtle
make
your head
better.
Out. You gotta move your chin down and then like move your head out, and it feels fucking weird as shit.
Chin down, head out.
And then Martin's over there like, I swear it's gonna look fine. It feels weird, I swear. And I'm just like, are you full of shit?
So
but he's not. He knows.
So with that, how do you balance like you as a photographer really knowing like, I promise you this is not gonna look good, and then still kind of like picking and choosing which mountain you want to die on with the cosplayer? Like how far do you push back before you just say, okay, that's cool, like we'll just do it that way?
So this is very similar to me used to take event photography at clubs with very drunk ladies.
Oh my god.
You do first is that if they say they want something, you give them what they want first. If they say, I want to look like this, I'm like, great. I'll take that photo. Great, do whatever you want. But then after they that, and then after that, you got that shot, they'll be happy. But it's like, hey, let me try this. Then they'll be more welcoming to try whatever you want to try.
Okay.
After that, and then especially with DSLR now, you can instantly see the image, and then you can see, oh, that picture actually looked better than the other one that I tried to do, even though I'm not a photographer and I thought I know better. but you know, then you can show them the comparison. That's a great thing about, you know, having digital. You get to compare it instantly. And that is nothing. That is a luxury that a lot of people do not have maybe 10 years ago.
So going back a little bit to like the whole cosplay is not consent kind of line, we had a question in chat. What are, as a cosplay photographer yourself, what are some signs that cosplayers should look out for with photographers that they probably shouldn't do work with? You know what I mean?
Okay, that's a great question. You know, because cosplay has gotten much more, you know, bigger, much more popular, you are attracting lots of people, not only photographer, attendee, but all type of people that will come into the community, bad or good. So it is important for everyone to, you know, keep in mind, you know, how to be safe. You know, I'm not saying that we're in an unsafe environment. You know, cosplay so far, I would say it's still a very positive environment, but I, of course, some, you know, self protection would be important to have too. I would say, you know, watch out for photographers that maybe you never worked with before, and then the first thing they do is ask you to some very remote location. You know, it's better to work with a new photographer or someone that you can be seen, or even if you scream help, someone will be instantly able to hear you.
Especially,
yeah. you know, New York Comic Con is tricky because, you know, that's not a lot of location, and you don't want to, but you don't not want a photographer like, hey, let me bring you to that dark alley over there.
Oh, God, no.
No, you do not want to do that. I mean, you read in a Batman comic to know dark alley usually doesn't help you well.
That's your clear sign to run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So, you know, also for, you know, people who obviously try to trick you to do something that you don't want to do. They will try to do foot in the door method, which is like, you know, asking you for small favor, like, oh, do this and do that. You might decline, they ask something smaller, then you say yes, but then they keep asking for more and more and more and pushing you until you have to agree to say, you know, whatever they want you to pose as. So that is something that, and, I mean, for you as a cosplayer, and even photographer too, at any point, you're not obligated to have to work with that person, you know, unless you have a contract or something. But if you're at a convention, just meet someone, you know, just saw you and they ask for photos. At any single point, you can say no and walk away, and there's nothing they can do about it, you know. And in fact, if they try to do something about it, that is not okay. So, you know that you can always walk away from any situation.
I think
that's a good point.
True.
I don't think a lot of people realize that.
I don't know. I can't speak for men in the community, but I think as females, sometimes when, you know, you're in front of a photographer and they're telling you, hey, like, let's get these photos, blah, 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 blah. And you're new in the community, you're going to trust everyone. You're like, oh, great. Yeah. Someone wants to take my photo. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's go into this spot and take a photo. And you're not really thinking that through of where are we going? We're going off location. I don't know you. You know, anything like that. And that's definitely something that you need to steer clear of. On my end now, having been in the community for a bit of time, I always ask for someone's credentials. If they come up to me and they're like, oh, you know, I'd love to shoot. Okay, do you have a card? Do you have a social media page, a website? Can I see your work? Because for me, it boils down to I want to make sure that what their aesthetic is, what their representation and artistic values are in photography are going to match what I'm looking for myself, because, you know, their art speaks for itself, my art speaks for itself, and I want to make sure that we have that even match going on. But you never want to just run off and take a photo for the sake of, oh, I'm going to get my photo taken, because you never know where that can lead you to.
And that is such a attractive trap hole in the beginning. You know, if you're a new cosplayer, I know how tempting it is. Like, oh, I really someone want to take my pictures. I know it feels great. You know, it is amazing. However, you know, just be careful. I'm not saying that's, you know, everyone's a bad person, but there could be one or two bad people in the community. You want to be careful. And also, photographer has a lot of power over the model when they do not realize that, even though they're supposed to have no power over it. But
as well as the final image, and that's something that a lot of people forget of, who has rights to those images.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, I think when you first start cosplaying, the most important thing to learn is to say no. And like that, I guess sounds so simple, but it's hard. It's kind of hard even for somebody that's generally outspoken. Like, it's kind of hard to learn that it's okay to say no. It's okay to turn these people down. And like it's okay to be mean if you have to. Like, if people are going to think you're mean, then that's fine. But like, if you don't want to take a picture, don't take a fucking picture. Like, I've gotten so good about it now. Like, if I'm walking somewhere and somebody wants to stop me for a picture, and I'm like, no. I'm like, you know, I'm nice, but I'm just like, oh, I'm on my way somewhere. But I'm not going to stop every 5 feet, you know, for somebody that wants to take my picture. I'm not going to stop at all. I don't stop at all on con floors because you're not supposed to. Like, there's 15,000 people here. I'm not going to stop in the middle of the floor and block up this fucking traffic. Like, I can see you did 5 feet back there.
Here's a funny thing. Actually, if I ever want to trap a cosplayer,
terrible.
I don't want them to move, go anywhere, I just have to pretend to get a photo. Not trap them alone. What I meant is that just making sure they stay at one spot and I can come back and find them.
It's Jessica, like, Negri, I choose you. Yeah.
All I have to do is say, like, oh, they're right here. It's like, oh, and just scream really loud, hey, let me get a photo. And then take a photo of them, and all other photographers just swarm and try to take photos too. I'm like, all right, great. At that point, they're not leaving because every single photographer is like, oh, let me get a photo. And that person would just stay there for
That's the worst. I hate that. When, like, you stop for one photo and then two other photographers come in and then 12 others, and like suddenly there's this group and you're like, I have to go.
It's
like,
really funny.
It's great to have a savior in those instances though. Well, that, not only that, but if there's a photographer that's in that grouping that you know there's easy ways to give them that look of help me, I gotta go, you know, I need to get out of here. But the one thing that I, at least on my end, I absolutely hate, and I know you do not do this, Martin, is when you're in the middle of eating food and photographers will snap photos of you while you are ingesting your food. And I think that is the absolute worst. I had one experience at, I think it was like Wizard World Philly or one of those shows several years ago. We brought food to the booth. I hadn't had any food, and there's a line wrapped around the booth, and I go to take my first bite of food. I hadn't eaten, and everyone brings out their cell phones. And I'm like, you've got to be freaking kidding me. Like, seriously with this. You guys are rude. So I turn around, take my bite of food. And after that, it was not so pleasant. But, you know, some people just, they have no tact, or they don't understand that, like, there's just boundaries and you should not cross those boundaries. Or understand if you've got to go to the restroom or whatever. Hey, you know, yeah, I'd love to take a photo, but I really need to go to the restroom. And I've had those instances on my end where people have yelled at me as I'm walking past them. Like, sorry, I really can't stop. I have to go to the restroom. I'm running late to a panel, bitch.
You know? Wow.
Yeah. And it's like, wow, okay, thank you so much for thinking horribly of me for me needing to take care of my bodily functions.
That's the worst.
Like, cosplayer that, you know, they're guesting at an event, but after they're done, they you know, they're done for the day, so they want to get some rest, but they can't because people keep swarming them. So I have seen cosplayers actually hide under their table.
Oh yeah, I've seen cosplayers take naps under their booth.
We have a mutual friend that does that.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for her.
Like, that's what I was like, what is your goal? And then, like, you know, her
lift up the boyfriend tablecloth.
Pointing that she's down here.
So we had another question in chat. Mar, what's been your favorite, like, all-time shoot?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Like, the one that you were like, this is the peak. This is it.
Like, cosplay,
but you don't know that
otherwise.
You'll ever be able to top that one.
Yeah.
That's a really tough question because every single time I shoot, I find new challenges and try to, you know, top that. And that's a problem in photography, you know? Once you start it, you just realize, like, you'll never be happy because you keep trying to get a better shot. So
he can't choose because all of his work is amazing. That's what he's saying.
You might want to rethink about that. It's a really dangerous path, you know?
I know myself, when I try to edit something, I'll spend days on editing a picture because I'll think it's okay, and I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to think about it. And I'll come back the next day, and I'll look at it, and I go, what was I doing? This looks so bad. And I completely start from scratch. So I get that. That makes sense.
I had those experience a lot where, you know, wake up and, like, then I said, all right, that's not bad. I wake up and it's like, the heck is this? This is complete trash. Like, good thing my table is heavy enough because I have two TV screen. I was just like flipping the table every other day.
So what happens when you edit at 4:30 in the morning?
So I don't know, man. There's a lots of great photos out there that I mean, lots of photos I've done. Every single experience is a bit different. I would say there are a few incidents where I went to did some cosplay photos with Jessica Negri in Hawaii. Those turned out pretty well.
Those were okay. Beautiful.
Yeah,
her armored Kida photos.
Woo. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And we definitely suffered from it too because you know we were hit by the waves, like completely hitting by the waves. There's actually photos that we took that she's got hit by the wave in those photos and videos too. She was wearing contacts, so she couldn't see at all. And now this is like ocean water, so it's like salty water that will burn. There are pictures that we have to hike mountains for hours. You know, we got bites by mosquitoes, so that's fun to Photoshop as always, you know, mosquito bites. But the photos turn out really well, you know, because when you're incorporating a cosplay into an environment that's not just conventions, you get to be a lot more creative. You know, you get to see how the cosplayer even more, the character even more comes to life because they are now in an environment that's suiting them. For example, we shot, I shot Jessica with her, Nidalee from League of Legends, in the forest, in the jungle, in Hawaii. And, you know, there's a suggestion I gave to my photographer as well, is that's my students, is that, you know, if they're in an environment that makes sense for the cosplay, have them interact with the environments and the photos will become a lot more better and much more believable.
Mm-hmm.
That's so okay. So, flip side of that question, what's been the worst experience that you've had?
Oh, no.
That face.
You don't have to name, obviously, you don't have to name names. Just like, you know, a convention that you went to that, you know, you just had a really bad experience or something like that. It could be cosplay or otherwise.
So I think I mentally kind of block it out for a little bit, but I mean, I have some shoots that's kind of bad. Like, you know, there are a few shoots, like for example, one of them, I rented a nice location and then the model decided to not show up 10 minutes before. It's like, yeah, by the way, you know, my something happened. I don't know what, but yeah, I couldn't show up today. It's like, great. So now I'm going to spend money on renting a location and now it's that I'm not going to end up with photos that I would love to be taking. Like money is one thing, but it's more about like I want the opportunity to get this location and it's not something that I can always get again. I have done a model shoot, fashion shoot, and then the model show up in flip-flops.
How dare you call me out like that?
Yeah, right? Okay, there's just some situations like, okay, so that's when it happens when you know you're working with someone who's a professional and someone who's not.
Yep.
A professional model cosplayer, they know what to expect and how to prepare themselves and how to communicate with the photographer. And that actually the experience I had working with Yaya for the first time, I think that was 8 years ago. I met Yaya. Can I dive into that story, by the way?
Absolutely.
Yeah, go for it.
So I met Yaya actually in Mexico. not in the United States, but at first that was back when I tried to purposely not to research on cosplayer because I want to have a new experience with every cosplayer for the first time to shoot with them and without having any judgment or any, you know, preconception of who they are. So I, for the first few years of cosplay photography, I have not dived into, you know, looking at who is who. So I was invited as a guest to this convention in Mexico. And then people were like, oh, that's awesome. You know, and Yaya's going to be there. And I was like, what's a Yaya? Is that some kind of food? Like, is this some Mexican food that I don't know about? What's a Yaya? And they're like, no. Yaya is a cosplayer. Like, oh, cool. Great. And they're like, yeah, you know, you can maybe work with her or something. I'm like, all right, we'll see when I get there. You know, I was expecting to do panels and, you know, give a little lectures about cosplay photography. But then I met Yaya for the first time there, and it's like, first of all, she looked great. She was doing her Kami Anime. What's it called?
Ame but it's Kami.
Her
Ame Kami Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, exactly. And she looked great, and she looked amazing. And compared to a lot of cosplayers I work with previous before her is that she instantly give me post after post after post. And also when I asked her to do, you know, some kind of angle or like explain to her like what kind of lights I'm trying to get, she already knows where, like, she knew like where she's supposed to turn. So that is instantly I see that, oh wow, someone that had experience posing or in front of the cameras mm-hmm. a lot know what to do. So that's the same advice I give to a lot of beginning cosplayer as well, is that if you're starting out, you want to get great photos, don't think that you're a narcissist, but do this. Take a lot of selfie. Look at yourself in the in the mirrors a lot. Maybe spend, you know, 30 minutes a week looking at the camera, practicing poses. See how you look. Then, you know, then when the photographer say, hey, can I get, you know, a different pose? Then you mm-hmm. know what to do. That actually happens a lot. You know, I work with new cosplayer and say, oh, this look great. And then I say, hey, can we get in a pose? And then this is froze. I'm like, oh no, I broke her. What's the reset button? Can I turn it on and off again? But no, they just do not know how to react because they didn't prepare to have more poses to work with. Then I have to, you know, get creative and work with her and show her, you know, what we can do together. But yeah, I would say, you know, practicing would help a lot before yeah. conventions.
You know, I'd add to that one thing that I always tell people, like during panels and things like that, that ask questions about like posing and whatnot, is also study your source material. You know, take a look at how, you know, the characters in the comics or in anime or video games are posed. What are their, you know, like their power stances or, you know, victory poses, anything. Take a look at all of those different poses, practice those in front of a mirror. That way, if you are walking a con floor and it's like a non-professional shoot, it's just like random person wants to take a photo, they want to snap a photo, you can immediately go into one of those poses that you've already practiced and you know that it's familiar with the character, so that at least, you know, should that photo ever end up online, it's going to be a good shot, something that you're comfortable with already. You have a default.
So here's a free advice on the house. Okay. usually when you have props, that's the easy part, you know, when you have props, you know, like a fake gun or a sword or some kind of weapon, it's very easy for you to move around. But people run into trouble is that when they have nothing in their hands for some characters, what should they do? And this usually applies to cute characters or anime characters. And this is a trick called rock, paper, scissors. So how it works is that you can use both hands to do rock, paper, scissors. Either do both rock, both paper, both scissors, or you can mix and match, and they usually look very cute. You can move them one hand in the front, one hand in the back, and just do different poses with rock, paper, scissors. That usually create pretty creative, cute photos easily.
I've seen photos like that too. That's super smart. Like, that's huh. cool. Okay.
That's gonna play well on the audio okay, podcast. Okay.
So we can all practice that. So you're saying, do rock.
So
do rock.
Okay.
Do paper.
Paper.
Scissors.
And scissors.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can mix okay. and match. You can do like a rock and a paper, or do you know a scissors and a paper. Or a rock. Anyway, they look very cute. It usually work better for females, though. Just saying.
Don't let that stop you, Webb.
Oh.
Live your best life.
Yeah, Webb, you can be cute, too.
All my selfies are going to be so cute from now on. I'm always going to do rock, paper, scissors from
yes.
now on.
Yes.
I practiced a lot of actually female poses, and then I was doing a cosplay for an event, Anime Expo, a few weeks ago. I actually did get into cosplay myself. I forgot how to pose because I was doing a male character. I was wearing a full body suit as a Spider-Man that has Captain America design on it, and so I was like Captain Spider-Man or something. But yeah, for the first few like 10 or 20 minutes, I'm like, I don't know what to pose. Like, people actually ask me for photos. Like, hey, Spider-Man, can I get a photo? And I'm like, shoot, I can't really do really weird girly pose. So I have to instantly change. What would Spider-Man do? WWSD.
Spider-Man, the flips.
I know. But I didn't think of it at that time because I also have a shield with me, you know. And but then I started, you know, doing some very nice legs movement. But like, no, I'm not sure that works too well.
He's popping the butt. He's getting, you know.
Yeah,
the
I was
hands.
Doing a lot of butt, my lack of butt action, but I tried.
But you have to talk to D-Pity about that one.
I actually, if you watch his YouTube video, there is maybe a 1 second, maybe even less of me getting pretty frisky with his Deadpool. Oh no!
Yeah, that was interesting. You got to link that to us so we can see that.
Yeah.
So on that note, so you've been around forever. Is basically the what we're getting at here is you've been around for a long time. So what's next for you? Are you on the same path? Are you doing new things? Are you promoting new stuff?
So right now I am working on my mobile app. I'm focusing a lot on that. I made an app recently. I did actually Kickstarter last year, and it got successfully funded. Now thanks for the community, and it's an app called Shower Round. So the reason behind me making this app is because I actually had, you know, as you can tell, I had a great experience going to conventions, and that's why I'm still here. Now every time I'm like, I am done, and then they're like, hey Martin, you want to go to the next con? Like, yeah, I am. But because I made a lot of good memorable friends since the beginning, and especially in the beginning, when I say beginning, it's mean beginning of my cosplay career. Cosplay photography career is that I made a lot of friends randomly. Back was before, you know, internet with Instagram and Facebook, before it got really prominent. I made friends by just really showing up at the events, saw someone great, asked them for photos, and then we did a photo shoot, and later we hang out later that night. And that was an easier time, I would say, at least for me back then, because I was new. And I say it was easier time because I was new, and I feel like anyone coming into the community right now is a little bit challenging, because people get worried. They worry about offending someone, especially there's some cosplayer and photographer now really popular, and people are really scared to approach people. And I'm trying to break down those barriers. You know, a lot of us are shy otaku and nerds and geeks. But that's what I'm trying to do with this app, is that, like, you know, there's a matchmaking components to the app, so you can, you know, find someone, you look at people, it's like, oh, they're in the area, they seem interesting, you say yes to them, and if they say yes to you, you guys can connect and talk. But if you guys, you know, if either of you didn't say yes, neither of you will know each other, try to connect. So there's no awkwardness. We can avoid that awkwardness that a lot of us are facing right now. So, you know, that is mainly my focus right now, is to make an app that's help people make friends the same way that I did, you know, 10 years ago.
That's awesome. Because, yeah, it is difficult to try and get together at a convention. You have, like, you know, umpteen different group chats with, like, 4,000 other people, and you're trying to coordinate between group chats. And with this, I remember you showing us this at E3, and it's awesome being able to just use one thing and be able to just kind of see who's around and who's free and meet up.
Yeah, and I mean, there's also a feature called Shout, just as the app name suggested. It also helps a lot of creators or even anybody. It's just to do a shout to let people know where they are and where to meet up, so they can say, hey, I'm at the fountain at 3 p.m. So it's easy, and people get a push notification. Because, you know, a special algorithm this day, and I'm sure Ivy, you know, because, you know, you post all the time too. But engagement is really horrible nowadays, and when you're at a convention, like, people don't know where to find you, and they will they'll come to you later too, that, like, after the event is over, it's like, man, I didn't see the whole convention, I didn't know where you were. Like, I post every day, it's like, oh yeah, I didn't see it. So I'm trying to, you know, make it easier for people to at convention, is that you do a shout. If they're in the area, they'll get a push notification, and you let them know, oh, I'm at booth 1124, and they'll come say hi.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think that's a
game changer for the community.
Yeah, you know? I mean, yeah, a lot of things I do is just trying to make the community and industry, you know, easier for us. Because I love everyone that has been supporting me through all these years. So I want to do the best I can to, you know, support others to give them an easier time. Just, you know, help the community, foster it to become more connected.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
So you've got your app, you've got your photography, are you doing other stuff, what are you up to? What's daily life like?
Daily life for me is lots of waking up at random time, trying to edit photo, and then go to sleep until I'm tired. Work until I'm tired, then I go to sleep. See, I already got that mixed up, because I've been up since 2 a.m. today.
Yeah, it's
a bit crazy.
That's just a normal day for Martin.
Yeah, but I'm also working on a secret project right now. I'm doing something that try to also make it easier for creators, especially cosplayer. And we'll see how it goes. Hopefully, I can announce it maybe by the end of the month. It's just something that I can say too much right now because, you know, we still try to figure out the details. Mm-hmm. But I want to, again, create another platform that can help creator to better promote themselves, better engage the audience. It's just something that's easier for creator to create. And I'm a creator myself too, you know, as a photographer. I want to focus on just making great photos. So if I can have a platform or something that can make it easier to handle everything else that I don't have to handle, then I could focus on my art and the platform can help me do the rest of the stuff.
VGB exclusive. Y'all heard it here first.
Yeah.
You're also on Patreon as well though, right?
Currently, yes, I am. Yeah.
I get your cards every month. I love them.
Oh, yeah.
Me too.
Monthly postcards to people that are my Patreon subscriber. They're giant postcards too, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like the size
Julia,
of my face.
I see that one.
So, you know, it's I think it's great because, like, postcard is very not only is collectible, it's good size, but I miss getting postcard from people. Ever since the internet, we don't really get postcard anymore. I still enjoy the time where, you know, go to an island or when you travel and then you write a postcard, mm-hmm. and then send it back home. So it's not exactly the same, but, you know, I know some people do not get to go to conventions. So hopefully some of my photos that I take from cosplay, cosplay photos at events, send it to them, give them a little feel like, oh, I was just there, or like, oh, my friend was there, you know, they were thinking about me when they were there.
So that's what awesome. What tier of your Patreon is that on?
That's actually is one of the lowest. It's only $5, my $5 tier, and you get a giant size postcard, double sided, full color.
Wink, wink, hey. Nudge, nudge.
And so we can link your Patreon here on chat. Is it patreon.com/MartinWong?
Martin Wong Photo. As long as almost everything that I have, my handle, hopefully I can claim everything that I needed. But, you know, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Patreon, Amazon, or Caffeine, or everything else, it's just / Martin Wong Photo.
Okay. So it's in chat, guys. For any of you guys interested, you can click on the link right there, patreon.com/MartinWongPhoto. Check him out. He's pretty badass.
So I figure one of the last things that we can grill you about. I don't know if we are legally or morally allowed to talk about this on Twitch, but you do stream as well, right? You just don't stream on Twitch.
I do. So I'm working on streaming as well. So, you know, I've been trying to experience with different streaming. So I have something that I'm planning to do soon. You know, lately I only been doing, you know, video game streaming because, you know, while editing is fun and all, it's not the best thing to stream sometimes. It can be boring, or like I'm not sure how to, you know, models feels about it. But I am planning to do a new way of streaming, which is trying to go through tutorials with the people. Ooh. So meaning I'll be reading a tutorial, there step by step, and then I'll just go through step by step guide, and then, you know, to work through the tutorial. I can learn it myself, or if someone have a suggestion, it's like, hey Martin, I really want to learn how to replace background, or I really want to learn how to, you know, do skin retouching or frequency separation or anything they want to learn. It's like, great, how about we all, you know, go on stream, and I'll go on stream, and then we can go through a tutorial that I can find online, and I'll just go through it and work it through.
So what do you stream on, because you don't use Twitch?
Yeah, currently I'm on a platform called Caffeine. I personally do like Caffeine a lot too, because it's great for streaming IRL, or what I'm doing, which is, you know, Photoshop or stuff like that, because it doesn't has a lag. There's no mm-hmm. lag, so meaning when someone asks me a question, I instantly see it. So it's kind of like, it's like a Skype call, you know, or mm-hmm. a Discord call, where you just talk to someone just like they're on the call with you. So there's no like, oh yeah, what was that you just do? And then 10 seconds later, it's like, hey, I got a question saying what did I do? But that was text 10 seconds ago, so I'm not sure. it would be a little bit awkward, you know, especially like, oh, we're 10 topics later. It's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then you ask them, and then they repeat, but then that's also 10 seconds after that. Then it become like half a minute, and then it just like go back and forth ping-ponging.
So there's no delay.
Yeah, so there's no delay. So that's it's a good benefit for any like IRL style kind of stream.
Twitch is going to kill us all now.
Yeah. The Twitch police are going to be here. That's okay, though. All right, so I could keep talking about photography all night, but we should probably get to a little bit of gaming news before we wrap up.
Emma? Yeah, we have a few things. So first is a follow-up to something that I think we talked about last week. We talked about the IGN reviewer that plagiarized
yes.
a YouTuber. So that kind of went crazy viral that the recap on that is that there was an IGN reviewer who was their Nintendo editor, not a freelancer, like a literal staffer at IGN, put out a review on a game called Dead Cells, and then a YouTuber uploaded a video that I think was like, it was like called Help, I think IGN just plagiarized me or something like that. And he did like a side-by-side of his review that he had done and the review that the IGN guy had done. And so it's kind of come to fruition at this point, and he's been fired. So they originally, IGN took the thing down and they suspended him pending an investigation, and then they announced this week that they flat out fired him. So then he goes on to post a video that was supposed to be like an apology video, but wasn't really an apology. He was kind of like, what did he say? He basically said that it was like
a misunderstanding.
It was a misunderstanding. He said it was, quote, not at all intentional, and he was sorry to everybody at IGN. Right. Like, he didn't apologize to Boomstick Gaming, who did the original review. Check out his channel. He is blowing up now from all of this. But yeah, he didn't apologize to that guy. He was like, you know, if I did this, it wasn't intentional, and I'm sorry to everybody at IGN, but not to anybody
else.
That's
a very common, like, apology style these days. It's like, that thing I did, it doesn't seem cool, but, you know, it's not technically bad, but, you know, I'm sorry that people, like, they don't say they're sorry because they did something wrong. They're like, oh, I'm sorry that people find it offensive.
I'm
like,
sorry, you feel that way.
You did something wrong.
I am personally guilty of doing that all the time when I know I'm not wrong. I am so sorry that you're offended. I'm so sorry you feel that way. You know,
it's all about the phrasing.
It makes sense when you actually do something wrong, you know.
That's me being an asshole, but saying, you know what, it was not my fault, but I'm sorry that you feel like you've been wronged, even though you haven't. You owe me an apology.
But like in this case, this guy like clearly did what he did. So apparently in his video, he also kind of dared the internet. Which you never want to do. I don't know what his exact words were, but
find
he basically...
Find more stuff. If you find anything else, just, you know, let me know, I guess.
He was basically like, I dare you to find anything else. And the internet was like, fucking challenge accepted. Yeah. And so there was a thread on it that got so big of people being like, oh, this review has things from this thing, and this has, you know, X, Y, or Z. IGN put out a statement that they pulled everything he'd ever done for IGN. They're like, we're not even going to deal with this. We pulled down everything he ever contributed.
Ooh, I saw that on Twitter. That's rough. That's insane. Martin, as a creator, have you ever had somebody like plagiarize your work, and like how do you go about handling that?
This happens a lot, you know, and I thought in grade school we learned that you can't just, you know, copy and turn in someone's work and then say it's yours. Like, you can't even just say, oh, I cited them, you know. Like, I mean, this is a really it's a gray area these days, you know. I've been talking to different photographers and videographers and everyone in the community about it. It's like, how do you feel about, you know, other accounts that steal your work and say, oh, but I credit you, but like, you don't turn in your homework saying you copy someone's complete essay. It's like, hey, I put someone else's name on it, I cite it.
Yeah.
Wrote it, and I just turn it as my own. You don't get credit for that, you get zero for that, you know. In fact, you might get expelled for that. So it's a gray area that, you know, we're still experimenting. We're trying to see, you know, what can we find that may be a common ground that people can understand, or maybe something that's, I mean, my best suggestion is that just ask, you know, like lots of times, like if you ask a photographer or ask a cosplayer, whoever owned the photos, if you ask them, they mostly say, yeah, thanks for featuring me and, you know, having that photos there. But it's not a common etiquette right now, so it's still a gray area.
That's really the original, that. Ask for permission, give credit where due. I think that's the biggest issue, especially with, you know, even with cosplayers posting photos on social media. The vast majority of cosplayers do not credit the photographer for taking the photo.
Oh, that's infuriating.
That's the huge, huge issue. And it drives me up the wall because it's, you know what? Yeah, you may have made the costume and you may have been doing the posing, but you know what? You're not the one that spent all of those hours doing the editing, scouting for location, taking the shot, and everything else that goes behind all of that. So you have to give credit where due, you know. You didn't do all of that work on your own. It was team effort. So give that credit.
What annoys me the most is that when an account that, you know, not only they take your content, doesn't matter if they credit you or not credit you, but then in the caption, they're trying to sell something. You know, they're trying to sell some product that, you know, they try to profit off it. So they literally try to take your content and use an advertisement to sell their product. when that happens, I get very frustrated, you know, because there's a few reasons. First of all, you're stealing my content. That's already bad. Second of all, what if you're selling something that doesn't reflect me in a positive way?
Yeah.
It's like, what if I steal your photos? Yeah. Like, I'm also selling cocaine. Next thing you know, I'm the intern. Like, Martin Wong used cosplay photo to sell cocaine.
You know,
I am I'm going to never come back. So that is something I worry about. Good thing is that most social media platform is that if someone do steal your work, you are able to file a DMCA and then able to take it down if necessary.
I need help with that, Martin, because my photos are all over catfishing dating sites that I did not ever create.
Oh, yeah.
I saw
Obi-Wan.
Yeah, I saw Obi-Wan.
It's not me, I swear. People do it all the time, and I don't know what to do. I don't know how to stop it.
I got an ad the other day, and then it was, I forgot what was it about, but I took a screenshot of it, but it was something like, this game will have all this hot girl to play of you, and then it's one of my pictures, that cosplay photos. What? I heard the same thing from my friends too. You know, one of my friends is like, she was on a website and say, hot local single that want to date you, and she was like, that's me.
I don't want to date locals.
Oh, man.
I don't want to date myself. You know, I want a boyfriend. So, yeah, that happens actually quite often.
That's funny.
Do you ever get people that come to you and say, hey, we would love for you to shoot our project. We can't pay for it, but it would be great exposure for you.
Oh, yes. That's the best.
I hear that a lot. There's actually a Twitter account called For Exposure, and they talk about that very common. Like, here's the thing. I don't... Sean saying exposure is not a problem. Like, I actually would accept exposure as a payment. However, a lot of people, when they come with exposure, it's not enough to compensate how much work I have to put in. Like, if for example, a major brand that have major exposure, let's say Coca-Cola, they'll come to me and say, hey, Martin, you know, can you do this like small shoot for us? And then we'll, you know, blast you out there. And then that ends like, all right, I'll think about it. I'll consider it. Like, for example, 2 years ago, companies come to me and say, hey, you know, we're trying to work with Adobe Photoshop and say, you know, can we hire you to do stuff for us at Comic-Con to show off Photoshop? And they were going to pay me. But it's like, in my head, like, even if you don't pay me, I would be more than happy to work with Photoshop. So it has to make sense. It has to be some compensation that makes sense. I mean, I was thinking the other day, too. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, with this, you can guarantee get this much exposure. Okay, how about this way? If they become very eminent that they can give you exposure, then make a contract saying, okay, if my post doesn't get more than, you know, 10,000 likes, you just pay me $5,000. How about that? You are still, you know, believing that on your own exposure. So if you wouldn't bet onto it, why not? I mean, if you can get 10,000 exposure, I'm actually really happy. Then sure, take it. But if it doesn't, I get $5,000. How about that? And they usually back away when you say that. That's because then they know they don't actually have that exposure power.
That's true.
So
that's fair.
What do you recommend for like new photographers, like if they want to get into cosplay or actually just photography in general? At what point, because starting out, it seems like exposure is a good way to kind of build your brand and get your name out there. But at what point do you think is a good opportunity for newcomers to say, okay, I'm going to transition from like just exposure to now I'm going to start asking for money for stuff?
So that's a great question. What I suggest is that if you're a photographer, when you're first starting out, of course, you can't really charge because not only you don't have a good portfolio, you do not know how photography work as well. You're not getting paid, but you're actually getting experience. Mm-hmm. At certain points, if you feel like when you do an extra photo shoot for someone that's trying to hire you, if you're not able to learn anything from it, you're not able to have some enjoyment out of it, you don't feel like you're gaining anything from it, then you can start like, okay, I need something else to compensate for my time, for my editing, for my experience. And that is when you ask to charge. And you know, there's always people that are going to be at different level. You know, you're always going to find someone that you're willing to work for free. There's always someone you're willing to, that you have to, you know, charge them for it because you just can't, your opportunity cost will be doing something else. So it's just about when you find out that, oh, you're not gaining something else and you're actually spending more time that you could have done something else, then you ask that, okay, I feel like my time is worth this much. If you'd like to pay me, great. If you don't want to do this, that's fine too. You know, be courteous. It should be. Oh, this is a problem that in lots in cosplay is that people are scared to ask. People have to learn, as you know, Emma said earlier, you know, learn to say no, and also learn to okay to accept no as an answer.
Yeah.
I get rejected a lot too for other stuff too. You know, for sometimes asking for photo shoots, you know, or asking someone to say, excuse me, and they don't move. You know, that's still a rejection. But it's just, you know, being the okay, they said no, then that's fine. Then you move on. You know, you move somewhere else. That's like they don't move, then you move somewhere else. It's very simple.
Actually, I do have a question for you. This came up, I think, a year or two ago, and it was all over cosplay community, but and I know San Diego Comic-Con was cracking down on this, but there was an issue where photographers were charging to shoot in the hallways. So if a cosplayer wanted to like take photos, the photographer was saying, okay, pay me money right now for a hallway shoot or whatever. And San Diego had a huge issue with that because, one, they don't have a permit or whatever to, you know, in essence, sell, you know, mm-hmm. that or anything like that. What are your thoughts on photographers charging for hallway shoots as opposed to, you know, doing an on-location shoot or a studio shoot or anything like that that's more on a professional level?
So first of all, when you charge someone, and also if you're being charged, so on either end, you need to know what it is before going in, and you cannot tell someone you're going to charge someone after you provided a service that they didn't mm-hmm. agree upon, because then that would be just trying to, you know, trick someone to pay you money. That's actually, I think, it's highly illegal too. I would say when you're on someone else's property, you know, follow their rules. You know, it's like when you're in someone's house, you know, if they say they want you to take off the shoes when you enter the house, then you take off your shoes or else you're not getting in. Same here in Comic-Con. You know, Comic-Con decided to say, hey, you can, you know, charge people for photos here. Then like, all right, then you just don't do it there. Mm-hmm. It's not just respect, but it is part of their house rule, you know.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, don't be there. The great thing is that it's a lot of times a free country in America, so you can do anything else. Just like someone can come to your house and start charging money for using your wall. So I would say respect the household. Whoever is in charge of that property, that place, and they say what it goes, and if you don't like it, go somewhere else.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Also, one thing I'm doing a lot now is that, like, I am actually teaching cosplay photography. I've been trying, because, like, you know, again, I try to do more to help this community. One thing I'm trying to do right now is teach cosplay photography. Cosplay photography is not too different than normal photography, but there are some exceptions that's very different. You know, like how, like as you're saying, you know, shooting at Comic-Con or even conventions, a lot of time is learning how to take picture to make it look like it's not at conventions.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of tricks that I'm trying to teach to making sure people can accomplish those kind of photos. But since I travel so much now, so I'm thinking I'm going to do like actually a recording and sell the video instead of, you know, doing teaching one-on-one or, you know, a class, because I'm always all over the place. I don't have a certain schedule. But that is something I'm working on, and hopefully people can, you know, learn from it and then make better photos, and then everybody, you know, get better photos, cosplay get better photos, everyone get happy.
Nice.
And then don't plagiarize the video, anybody.
Yeah.
Taking it full circle.
I know that's going to happen, but I'm like, you know. So I'm trying to, like, make it very cheap. So it's like, hey, you know, this is not expensive. Just buy it and then take it, learn it. If you're just going to copy it, whatever, you know. At the end of the day, if it get people get better photos, I'm like, all right, I guess.
All right, so our next little bit of news is about We Happy Few, which we've talked about before.
Yeah.
So they're getting a lot of unhappy customers. Unhappy Few.
Okay, there you go.
I hate myself. I hate myself.
That felt like a Corey joke.
That was bad. Anyway, I don't know what the fuck was I even saying anymore. So I've been playing it for a while. I was super excited about it. We've talked about it on the show a lot. So the 1.0 release finally came out, and it is kind of a buggy mess.
Really?
It's not great. I've streamed it a couple times, and I've gotten, like, visibly frustrated a few times. PC, I think, or console, I mean, console, I think, is much worse than PC at this point. It's not optimized very well at all. So keep in mind, this game, for those of you that don't know, We Happy Few is a full $60 game, plus, like, there's different editions. But it's been in early access for the last 2 years, I think.
Okay, so to me, and there's no excuse.
Right, right. No. And so I've had it for about a year and a half, and the latest updated version of the early access that we had access to ran perfectly. It ran fine. There were almost no problems with it. So then they released this patch. They released the full game. And there are, so just in like what I've experienced, the most annoying thing to me is constant loading screens. Constantly. I'm not even doing anything. I'm just walking down the street, and I've gotten 3 loading screens within the span of 2 minutes. It's horrible. And sometimes they're a split second, and sometimes it takes 5 minutes. Like everything that I do loads. I'll be running away from an enemy. I'll be in the middle of a fight, and I had a loading screen. I have to wait and sit, and I'm kind of sitting there, and then it loads back in, and I'm like, oh fuck, I'm still running.
Loading game simulation.
It's horrible. There's enemies that will glitch in and out of existence for no reason.
That's my like pet peeve about a game, especially like if I almost have them beat, and then they glitch out and they're back, and like I'm like, what? Like that happened with For Honor.
Yeah.
That would happen all the time with For Honor. It pissed me off.
Yeah, there's textures that won't load. The frame rate on console is atrocious. Like, if you're running, the video stutters. It's very...
So have they released a statement about this at all?
So they have. So Compulsion Games, who made the game, did a Reddit AMA today. Because the game, like, about the game release. And obviously a lot of the questions they had about it were, you know, what the fuck? So they talked about the game being temporarily pulled from Steam for a while because of being review bombed. They talked about that for a little while because I guess when it was announced that they had partnered with Gearbox, people lost their fucking minds. People hate Gearbox. So when they announced that they were partnering with Gearbox, they got review bombed on Steam for no reason. So they had to fully pull the game off Steam and then bring it back. So that was like, I think their like top comment on the Reddit AMA was people like, what the fuck happened on Steam?
Yeah.
And they're like, here's the deal. And then the guy under that was like, so bugs.
What is happening? A weird thing where nowadays where there's green lights or like all this stuff that you can have a game out when it's not complete. And compared to a lot of other entertainment, it's very different. You can't like write a book and at the end it's like, oh yeah, we have some glitches with the typewriter, so there's just letters all over the book. We're not done yet. So it's like, oh yeah, the end. Like, oh yeah, how's the ending? I'm like, oh, I don't know. We didn't finish recording it, but you know, it's in theater right now.
Kind of reminds me of that one Assassin's Creed game where everyone was parts of their faces, and all you saw were eyeballs and mouths.
Yeah, that was the best. The French one, the one that I'm in. Unity. That was Unity.
I think they should have kept it with the glitches. I think it made it better. It became a horror game.
It was bad.
The problem is that a lot of gamers still haven't learned the lesson. They're like, oh, pre-release, I'm going to buy it before, you know, we have a finished game. And then you end up having an unfinished product. It's just disappointing. I feel like it's a really bad cycle.
The problem that the guys in the AMA were talking about, or one of the problems and one of the things that they kind of weren't expecting, was that they were talking about, like, they were in early access, but it's not a regular early access. Like, it wasn't like you have the game and then it's getting patched and then you just have it. It was a very different game in early access. There was such a jump between the last early access version we had and the 1.0 release. There was a huge difference in what it was. There was so much that was added to the game that, like, previous games that have done early access have never added that much before. Right. So that was one of their problems.
So early access is like, oh, you get the first 3 chapter of Twilight, and then later become 50 Shades of Grey. It's like, what?
Oh, no. How did this change? And it's not in a bad way. So the way it worked was that the early access was kind of like a survival type of thing where, like, you were just doing side missions and stuff, but all of the story, the entire campaign, all the character development was going to be in the 1.0 release.
Okay.
So they did respond to some people. They did respond to somebody asking about Jim Sterling's review, which, if you saw, was very overdramatic. That guy really hated it. But they said a couple things. They said, as a specific issue, we optimized the game fairly heavily when we released on early access, and when it came to the full release, optimization was a great deal more difficult. Surprisingly, on the CPU and hard disk. So apparently it's also really hard. Like, people with great gaming rigs are having to run it on the lowest possible settings, and it's still, like, maxing out their CPU, and they can't figure out why. So
here's what I don't understand. Why do companies not fix these bugs beforehand? Like, why not just spend extra time and get all of it fixed and deliver a quality product versus trying to fix it after you've already released it.
Well, what's interesting is this was already a delayed release. This was supposed to come out in April, I think. And they announced it.
Delay it further.
Right. Yeah. I'm wondering if, because they got acquired.
Ubisoft does this every year as well. They have to release a new Assassin's Creed game every single year. And every single year we end up with some kind of a glitch or a problem or whatever. And it's not about trying to churn out a game as quickly as you can. You know, your quality is going to suffer at the end of the day. So and then who pays the penalty for that? The gamers do.
Yeah.
I think it has to do with, like, investor or, like, gaming cycle. There's companies like, oh, well, we need to push a game out now because we want to start having revenue.
Right,
Because maybe they're burning out cash. And so then that could be what forced their hand to
do
so.
That's kind of what I'm getting at here is, like, they were an indie company, but then they partnered with Gearbox, and then they were acquired by Microsoft this year. So I'm wondering if Microsoft was like, you're putting this game out. It's going out this day. This is your deadline. And they couldn't really do anything about it anymore. I'm not so sure. It sounds like they were taken quite by surprise by a lot of this as well. But they've responded really well to a lot of the criticism. Like, there was a comment of somebody that was super, super pissed off. Like, he was like, I spent $80 on this game. And, like, he kind of went on a bit of a rant. And at the end, he was like, should I just file a class action lawsuit to get my money back? Like, he was mad. And they were kind of just like, they're like, I'm very sorry for upsetting you. I'm very sorry this happened. So they said, I'm sorry for upsetting you. I hope it's clear by my answers on Reddit generally and in this AMA that we are not ignoring or minimizing these issues. We are working to fix them. So there's a specific issue that they're hoping to hotfix as soon as they can. And then they said the other issues will be resolved with a larger patch as quickly as we can. So they're being very gracious with the reviews. Like, they're not mad about it. They understand the problem. They're upset about it. And they're kind of just like, we're doing everything we can as fast as we can. We weren't really expecting all of this.
That's, I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess they,
I'm not buying it.
I mean, I don't buy it. As somebody in the technical field, I can understand things hitting the fan when you weren't expecting. You can plan for every possible scenario, and then something that you didn't even think was going to happen because you covered X, Y, and Z, but A was still a factor. You know what I mean? Like, It happens, but at the same time, you have these companies that, especially with this game, it's been in, you know, early access for 2 years. How do you not have things worked out? Yeah. It should be a flawless release. So I think we got time. That's the wrap-up music. We got time for one more story.
Our last story we'll end on is a very sad one for me. The Dishonored series is apparently taking a break. QuakeCon was this weekend, so everything from Bethesda was there, including Dishonored. And in an interview with VG247, the lead designer, Ricardo Baer, said, I can't definitively say what might happen down the road. Anything could happen, but Dishonored is resting for now. So they are not currently, it sounds like they're not currently working on anything. The last bit of DLC from Dishonored 2 kind of wrapped up the story of the current characters very nicely. And it sounds like they, you know, he went on to talk about how at Arcane, they're kind of focusing on building, like, world building and environments that feel real and improvisational gameplay so you can really take charge of everything you're doing. So it kind of sounds like he wants to avoid what I was talking about with Ubisoft. He's trying to avoid the game cycle. They don't want to put out a game every year, every couple of years just to do it. They want to make sure that it's good. So it's sad, but also good, and I'm hoping maybe it'll give them time to focus on a Prey sequel, please.
Like how they're focusing on working on Half-Life 3?
Yes, please!
Wrong company. Wrong please! Company. Very
Valve,
wrong company.
Give me Half-Life 3, Valve.
Not even the right company.
They're taking their time.
I will do whatever it takes. No joke. Valve, Half-Life 3.
We know Half-Life 3 is dead.
Bam.
We know it's
bam,
dead.
Bam, hold on. No. Hold on. Let me move the cam because I'm very excited. Look at that gloriousness right there. That is a headcrab zombie right there. Look at that beauty. Yes. I'm sorry. I get really excited about Half-Life.
I love Half-Life, but we're almost dead. Once they release the story.
I hype up so much at this point, no matter how good Half-Life 3 is actually going to be, it will never be as good as the hype of it.
It would always never live up. But like once the guy that was like the lead story writer released the story that he was going to make for Half-Life 3 or that, like, you know it's dead. He's like, oh, he knows it's never coming out, so he's just releasing it.
Yeah.
Which sucks, but.
All right, guys. Well, that is all the time we have for tonight. Thank you for sticking around for this extra long episode. Martin, thank you so much for all of your wisdom, all of your advice. Where can people find you to see your work, maybe get those cosplay videos you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, my website is modernwongphoto.com. Of course, you can find me also on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter. Also, same thing, modernwongphoto, and you can find me there.
Awesome. Ivy, do you have any streams or anything coming up that you want to plug?
I will be streaming... What day is it today? Today's Wednesday. I'll be doing some streams Friday, Saturday. Of course, again, with you guys over the weekend and whatnot. Next show will be Sabaton Con in Phoenix, Arizona at the end of the month. Anime Con, and I will be debuting Felicia from Darkstalkers.
Oh, snap. Yeah. Curtis, what about you? What's your stream schedule like?
Man, I'll be back at it. I promise I'll be back at it this week. Actually starting tomorrow, so just twitch.tv/skipintosh. You'll find me there.
Nice. And Emma?
I will be on tomorrow with a, hopefully with a creative stream. I had to cut it today because what I was working on was so big I couldn't work on it in my streaming space. So hopefully, what's that?
You went to Home Depot and buy stuff.
I did. I did go to Home Depot. Took Millie to Home Depot. Millie's my dog. First thing she did, shit in the middle of the aisle.
You know what?
Oh my god.
Was it in the toilet section? Because
no,
that could be confusing.
It was not.
No, okay.
But that's off topic. Anyway, no, I'll be on tomorrow, hopefully working on a very large bow and arrow. Very large bow. Yeah, twitch.tv/emmaskies.
Nice.
All my shit is emmaskies. That is actually, you guys have commented on that before on how my branding is all the same.
Yeah.
Lesson I learned from Martin very it's early on. He told me to change all my way. Stuff.
So that is smart. Yeah. And I will be streaming on Friday. I will probably be streaming World of Warcraft. I'm gonna jump into that.
No, resist! Beast. Resist
I can't.
It! Don't do
the
it!
The commercials are too good!
Stop
so
it!
So many people are jumping in.
Stop it!
I'm gonna do it.
Hey, didn't the new Overwatch event begin?
It did.
And there's crap. So I might
Bye.
Stream some of that too. Yeah.
Goodbye, life. Knowing you guys, I will be there. Bye.
And of course, we will be back here on Saturday night, 9 o'clock-ish, twitch.tv/videogame_bang. If you're listening to the podcast, you have not come check out the live show. You are missing out. You missed out on Martin's illustration of Rock, Paper, Scissors for photos. You can only catch that here on Twitch. So for Martin Wong, Ivy Doom Kitty, Curtis, Emma Skies, this is the real David Webb saying I will see you guys next show. Peace.
Peace out.
Bye.
I almost hit that post.
Love is love.
Right there.